It's 10:50 on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. It's the Orphanage live at Ticket Stock. I am Dave, and my good friend to my right is Danny. We are here until noon, at which time roundtables will start, but unlike previous Ticket Stocks where we are ushered off the stage, we actually get to participate in the first couple roundtables. So I believe at 12:10 we're going to have Corby and Gordon with us, and then
what's up, brother?
And then I believe after that Craig Miller is going to captain a round table, and we're going to get to stick around for that. So you'll have more than enough of us today. But last night we were recapping the Time Wasters, and we're kind of going down memory lane, and somebody tweeted me, I didn't have a chance to read it, but a guy sent me a link, or I think he sent it to both of us, of his review. I don't know what it was published in, if it was like a real publication or just his blog, but he did a review of our appearance at Fort Worth Main Street Art Fest in 2000.
Wow. Of the Time Wasters?
Yeah, of the Time Wasters.
Well, and you didn't get to read it?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But yeah, the Time Wasters have played so many random places and had so many bizarre incarnations. But last night was one of the better gigs that we've had. I know we always say that, but it did seem like...
It was the set, number one, they had 21 songs, and it was quite varied.
It was maybe a little long. I think that there was a little fatigue towards the end.
Yeah. There were several acoustic numbers, too.
Probably maybe a little too down-tempo at times. Mm-hmm. Got to keep the energy going.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gordon Keith put on a finger-picking clinic for about 10 minutes.
Right. Did some flamenco guitar. So last night, I returned to the Ticket Stock stage after an extended absence, and I brought the gay 80s back to Ticket Stock. And the song that I chose, it was a special dedication to a new friend. If you remember...
An old friend that's become a new friend.
Yes. If you remember eons ago, I used to do tickers on the hard line. And
some of the best, most finest tickers that you could... ever imagine.
Yeah, if you want to understand the type of tickers that I did, then just listen to TC's tickers now, and they're pretty equivalent. So,
well, that's so true.
I only did it for like a year. I was bookended by Mark Folliwell. I took his place, and then
he decided
came,
to come back.
Because
what was he doing? Mavs Radio, or what was it?
He did Mavs Radio when, I guess, was it Bob Ortegel that got sick? Or there was some flux in the Mavs play-by-play thing. And so, like, Matt Pinto went from the radio to TV, and then Mark went to radio.
Right.
And then the next season is when he got the full-time TV gig. So then he left.
And you were not asked back for a second tenure.
Yeah, so then he left, and I was like, I get my old job back. No, it's Kevin Scott's job now. Sorry, Dave. So anyways. Yeah, thanks, Norm. But at the time, when I was on the hard line, there was a very adversarial relationship between...
It was contentious.
Between me... Well, it was really there was a division in the show, because you had Mike and Grego, and then you had you, me, and Corby. Mm-hmm. So it was like the old guys versus the young guys,
and they were outnumbered.
Yes, but of all the young guys, Mike hated me the most. I don't know why, but he hated me.
I don't know why either. Was it because you did half-assed tickers?
No, I think it was the haircut. I think it goes back to the Prince Valiant.
That's the root of all of your issues.
Yeah.
You know that.
It really ruined my life.
Because
my 20s.
Once you got a real haircut, boy, things just really started taking off for you.
Yeah.
This is a man that paid his taxes with a credit card. I'm not kidding.
And put a down payment of a car on a credit card.
Yes, on his credit card.
Yeah, you know, I was real good with money at the time. So, Mike...
You know, you can get like 2.9 rate.
Shut up.
23.7%.
Just shut up. So, Mike really hated me, and I never knew why. But I think now that I have a daughter and he has a daughter, I think now that I'm older and not
older.
Now that I'm not a snot-nosed kid, you know, he's come around on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the renaissance, the blossoming of our friendship came this past fall, where he invited me to go see Erasure with him at House of Blues. And Mike
has he's got a strange affection to that weird 80s music.
Yeah.
You guys definitely have that thing in common.
Yeah, Mike has a really bizarre, I mean, if you listen to Return Cuts on the Hardline, Mike has a really bizarre music collection. He has varying interests, but he wasn't into the gay 80s thing at the time.
Right.
But now, like, in retrospect, he has like a nostalgia for synth pop of the 80s, and so he wanted to go see Erasure.
Well, Mike was a massive geek in high school and pretty understated and kind of just like a, you know, keep your head down drummer. Things really started happening for him in the 80s because that's when he started getting a little bit famous from the Zoo.
Right.
So, you know, the geeky drummer kid had a little bit of fame, so he started happening with girls. And what you would do in the 80s, if you were hanging out with girls and you're in your late 20s, early 30s, well, you go to dance clubs and do mountains of blow. And that's what Mike was doing, was hanging out in these dance clubs. So now that this music that you like, he's got that connection because it takes him back to that time where he was really happening.
Yeah. Flashbacks to his golden years.
Oh, yeah. He was fighting way outside of his weight class with the ladies, and that music was kind of a soundtrack to his life during that period.
So we go to the show, and we're having a drink before Erasure starts, and, you know, we're in one of the bars at House of Blues, and there's a DJ, and he plays this song, and he and I bonded over this song. We were just both talking about what a great song this was. And, you know, we couldn't remember at first who it was. And then I was like, you know, looking it up on my phone and we were talking about it. And, you know, it was just a really touching bonding moment for the two of us. So it came to me as I was struggling to find a song to do. I was like, you know what? I need to do that song that Mike and I heard at House of Blues, and I need to dedicate it to him.
Yes.
So that is what I did last night. It's a song called The Promise by One Hit Wonders, When in Rome.
And when Davey finished this song and walked off stage, the man love embrace that occurred between you two, it was touching.
Yes.
I welled up.
Yes, because I am his Erasure Bear, and he gave me a big bear hug.
You guys, you are his Erasure Bear.
It's a big bear.
Okay, so let's roll it, killer.
Motive.
And when you're in danger, take a look all around. I'll be there.
Simon, I'm just thinking of the right words to say.
Promise.
I know they don't sound
who's that?
The way I planned them to be.
Guitar player.
But if you hang around a while and make you fall for me,
should do your dance that you did.
What did I do? I don't remember.
You know, your little
My little shuffle.
You know what to do.
So bad.
I'm gonna always be there. Sometimes if I shout, not what's intended, these words just come out with no bribe to bear. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think the right words to say. I know they don't sound the way I planned them to be, but if you hang around a while, I'll make you fall for me. I promise you. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to think of the right words to say. I know they don't sound the way I planned them to be, but if I had to walk the world to make you fall for me, I promise, Mike, I will.
Oh, you dedicated it to Mike. Oh,
that's great, dude. That's really good. Gordon and I were actually really listening to you and talking about, man, like, if you really tried and dedicated yourself to singing, I mean, you could totally front a gay 80s tribute band.
Yeah, well, that's what Mike said afterwards. He's like, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that if you ever can string together a band and like an 8-song set list, you can open up for Petty Theft.
I was like, well, what an honor.
Like, well, I can't con anyone into playing in a gay 80s band, but thank you.
I would do it.
And I got a tweet from a lady last night who said that she was watching with a vocal coach, and the vocal coach said, he has a really good voice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. So thanks, guys. It makes me feel warm inside.
All right, so let's take a listen to Jake and Mike Soroy put this together, and they asked me to join them on the chorus, and it made sense because us being 3 out of the 4 producers on the show, on the station during the week, except, well, Fernando, but he's...
Yeah, he never shows up at anything.
Never. So they put this together, and I thought this song was awesome, so we can just hit it. Everybody knows this jam.
Of 10 to noon, I am Norris Blunky. Barely need my brain. My host is a sports junkie. He's from South Niagara Falls. Turn up the decibels. Race horse stalls. Glazed Bob steak vegetables. Killing segments. Can't put it in neutral. Ratings war flaming with some losers, but we're in control. Calling Kip Keno. Doing picks of the pee. Got a couple of interns. We sleep during race week. P1's probably saying I'm insane to complain about Hall of Fame host in a 2-hour shift. But don't believe everything that they tweet. I get paid nothing in the station, get like no paid leave. So my bank account and my future both dark. Saving all my food stamps, I'm moving to a trailer park. So, kill me.
So replaceable. I'm a producer, baby. So why don't you kill me?
Talking less than 30K.
Oh, replaceable.
Story's so loud.
I'm a producer, baby. So why don't you kill me?
A real sports bully got me waking up with nightmares. Confidence is crushed, but it beats a manual labor. Cause one hates people, the other humble brags. Job takes a toll, feeling like I'm on the rag. Before I begun, though, needed a hero. I chose Bob, he and his chap, my favorite sports snobs. But now I see, I'm just another fling. Get verbal diabetes and they made him sell his wedding ring. But get it straight, man, there's no debate. I'd rather work.
You can tell Jake's the hip-hop fan.
Yeah. He's got mad flow.
Relax, but it'll be all right. I'll be fired by this winter. So,
replaceable. I'm a producer, baby. So why don't you kill me?
Not invited to the Super Bowl.
Replaceable. I'm a producer, baby. So why don't you kill me?
All right. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Man, you know, I always play my... Well, it's...
Not invited to the Super Bowl.
Ironically,
why don't we ever get to go to the Super Bowl?
I know. Ironically, I play my gay 80s song straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't do, like, the parody lyrics. But, man, that song and Dan's ELO song that we mentioned before, Soroy's Space Oddity with Norm.
That was awesome.
So many great parody lyrics last night. I don't know. I have so much appreciation for that.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of talent to deconstruct a song and put it back together with something that's actually funny.
All right, we'll take you to break with a little Dan's Mr. Blue Sky, and we'll be right back after these brief messages.
Wants to shout for their birthday. Hey, you sent in your wife's photo. Want to hear Dan Alarm or Corby bragging about all the girls he's tagging? There is just that one thing you want to know. Oh,
who's my poor guy? Do not lie. We wanted this info for so long.
So
we wrote this one.
Corby.
Who's my poor guy? Please do not lie. We've wanted this info for so long.